FNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more show. We had promised you, in case you were under a rock last night and did not catch the fantastic, it wasn't even a back and forth, it was the each player's perspective, the trash talk towards the end of the game between Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook. And Nick was generous enough to spend some extra time to make sure that he put that in the can for us. So we have that. Nick, which one we got first?
Well, we'll just play them back to back. We got Westbrook's opinion on the exchange they had on the court, and then we'll get Beverly's
opinion
following.
All right, there you go. Without further ado, here you go.
Russell, things got a little contentious between you and Patrick Beverley. Can you talk about, you know, kind of what happened there?
Oh, yeah, he was talking about he was first team all defense, but I didn't know what the hell he was talking about because I had 42 at the time. The series, you know, I don't know what he talking about. Maybe he was dreaming of some shit. I don't know. Sorry, excuse my cuss word, but I don't know what he was talking about, but I guess he wanted to be first team all defense or something. Maybe he was dreaming about it.
But now it shocked me because he said he looked up and said, no, it can guard me. I got 40 points. I'm like, that's nice. He took 34 shots to get it. I mean, no, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but I mean, you know, men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't. Collectively as a unit, we've done a great job on them. We try to make them shoot a lot of tough shots, and the numbers show.
I don't think you people at home, by the way, realize how many times in a week Barry thrusts open the door to the studio with a lot of vigor and just basically says nothing more than men lie, women lie, but numbers don't.
I was about to say, if the Rockets don't make a shirt that says that with Bev's face on it, they're missing a huge marketing opportunity. Because that is a great quote.
It was all over Twitter, too.
Yeah. And you think that was rehearsed?
Numbers don't. Put it on a T-shirt, put Bev on it, put the number on the sleeve, go make money.
We should start
it
first.
That's a beautiful shirt.
Rockets won't do it because they'll have to go through NBA channels and get approval and everything like that. But you're right, because if Memphis can do it with Fizdale,
yep,
there's no reason why that shirt shouldn't be on the seats come game three whenever they host their first home game in the second round.
No doubt.
It's a great call.
By the way, apologize to all the texters. The first hour, I didn't even have the text line up. And then I go to Twitter, and I've got like 73 unread messages.
Lazy.
So,
lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lamont's laughing at the fact that you stepped on a nerd's feelings by crushing Keith Law.
By saying there's too many stats. That's coming from a stat junkie.
Yeah.
There's just too much.
That's what I'm saying. But he's, and no, I don't believe that at all. That's incorrect, sir.
I don't agree with that.
I ran that through the computer 6 times, and it came up my way all 6.
Let me run your question through my question and answer machine, and no, it says you're an idiot.
My favorite part about Westbrook is him dropping the S-bomb and saying, sorry, bro. Sorry, bro, for the curse word.
Yeah, well, because he got fined for the other one, right?
Sorry, bro.
Didn't he get
fined? Sorry, excuse my cuss word, but...
Didn't he get fined for the... I don't give a bleep about the line. We lost.
He might have. I don't know.
I know is his facial expressions are fantastic. Like even
they're
after
weird.
Yeah, but even after the exchange with Beverly on the court, and then Eric Gordon jumped in and grabbed Beverly, and he could have just walked away or sat there, but he like extended his neck and puffed out his cheeks and made this goofy face and was like looking back and forth at the guys, and it's like this dude's in his own world, man. He's got a lot going up in that attic.
Yeah, I always look at him and think, why is he making that face? And then I think sometimes he just has resting weird face.
It's possible.
Like, you know, some people have resting bitch face. He has resting weird face.
I was going to say, how come you didn't say resting bitch face from the beginning?
Because it's a bitch face, it's a weird face. By the way, someone texted the show and said they're very disappointed how much all the shows on this station cuss. And that could we clean it up? Because Mike and Mike cannot cuss. Well,
define cussing.
Yeah.
Define cussing.
bitch, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. Ass, maybe?
Sorry, excuse my cuss word. But...
Yeah, see? Thank you, Russ.
See?
Russ has got our back.
Maybe it was Russ that texted the show saying that. I don't know. You know, hey, we're not going to be for everybody, and I get it.
So let's go to resting Rocket's face. Kurtlow is on hold right now. 2 days in a row, my friend. This is like a new record. What's on your mind after your big series-clinching win last night?
What's on my mind is that what the Westbrook shot his team out of wins.
Yeah, so? What's your
point? So that led me to believe he's not a team player, and there's no reason why MVP would be getting not be a team player. Am I right?
No, you're not. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Russell's going to win the MVP no matter what you think. I'm just trying to see if you think that's right or not. You want to make a little bit of wager? I'm here for you, my brother.
There's never been a player that's been 10th best team in the NBA and shooting as poorly as Russ winning the MVP ever. And Oscar Robertson didn't win when he had triple-double. So
there's also never been an MVP that has had such a short postseason as Russell Westbrook. And I'm telling you right now, Westbrook, I'm sorry. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to win it. I'm trying to be Kurtlow for Kurtlow.
Kurtlow.
But Kurtlow, with all that being said, have you accepted yet that he's going to win it?
Nah, I think they're going to give it to Russ because of the triple-double thing. I mean, but you know, it was hard as a lose. They should what they're telling people and what they're educating other players. All they're saying is that you don't have to win to get the MVP award. All you got to do is average a triple-double, right?
We don't know the criteria, so we can't. I'd love to say you're absolutely right or you're completely wrong, but we can't because we don't know the criteria. But I also want to point out that your general manager was the guy that 2 years ago said wins don't matter, and now he's the guy barking up the tree with the flag and the blowhorn that says wins matter.
Well, to be fair, though, he might have said wins don't matter, but then once it was given to
Curry,
then that's the standard that you go by because that was the differentiator for most people. So then he's like, well, all right, if we did it then 2 years ago, then wins matter, so they need to matter now. So
wins have always mattered. That's one of the criteria.
You can't be valuable to your team if your team doesn't win. Then you're just a really good player.
I mean,
you're telling your kids it's okay to be on a terrible team, but as long as you put up stats, you're all right. You know what I'm saying? What are y'all telling people? This has never been done. There's only been one person that's ever shot as poorly as Russell Westbrook, and that was Allen Iverson, I believe, in 2001 when he won the MVP. But his team was first in the NBA. I mean, first in the Eastern Conference.
Hey, Kurtlow. So, you know what I'm saying? Kurtlow, hold on. Push pause. Why do you get so, like, excited and mad? You seem very angry.
You don't know me. This is how I am, man. I'm not angry. I'm talking. You know what I'm saying? I'm conversating. I'm the... You know what I'm saying?
Are you beeping yourself?
I want y'all opinions.
Are you censoring yourself with the push-button phone?
Yeah, we keep hearing the button.
We keep hitting numbers getting hit. Are you, like, getting so fired up you're punching numbers now?
Nah, I don't think so. Maybe because, I am.
Yeah, we just heard it twice. You got to channel that emotion through the... Just through the mouthpiece of the phone, but don't be going overboard on me now. I worry about you.
What else you got, Kurtlow?
Now I wanted to say this: the next series. You know, this is I'm hoping that we play the Spurs. Like you said, like you heard from Vernon Maxwell, and like I told you before, the Rockets are a bad matchup for the Spurs because they have no answer for James Harden. Okay, and the center with Clint Capella. He's going to dominate, you know, Paul Gasol and whoever else they put up on there. But the one thing I'm more worried about, and I'm worried about the shooting. The shooting is, I believe, is 15th or 16th in three-point percentage, you know what I'm saying, in the playoffs. They're winning games, but now the test comes when you're playing against Popovich, okay, a great coach, one that doesn't make mistakes by leaving a player out there to shoot 2-for-17 from the line, okay? He's going to counteract everything D'Antonio does, and it's going to be a coaching series to watch. Now, I got a problem with what's his name? You know, the national media. You know, they're not going to give the Rockets no shot in hell. Everybody's going to pick the Spurs. Remember this. I want y'all to remember this. You're going to see it on ESPN. You're going to see it on TNT. Every one of these, you know, fake news kind of, you know, type of media members, they're all going to say the Spurs, okay? Watch out. The Rockets will not lose.
Hey, Kurtlow, we got to go to break, man. We're up against it.
Kurtlow, is Kawhi in the Bible? Because I'm just telling you right now, no answer for James Harden. I got to believe Kawhi Leonard's going to spend some time on James Harden. Not saying it's an answer, but saying it's a challenge.
Roberson gave Harden fits. Imagine what Kawhi is going
to
do.
There you go. Barry said it, not me. All right, so we've got plenty more show to get to, and if you want to be like Kurt Lowe and Marcus and all the people that are lined up to get in here, 713-780-3776, that's ESPN, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Text, call, or hit us up on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Do it, do it. Joel's twerking, y'all.
Well, once you did that, whatever you call that move.
I don't know, what is that move called? I don't know what that is.
Nick, what is that move right there called?
Where you take your arms, kind of make chicken wings.
It's like cabbage patch.
Put your fist to your
sternum.
Breast.
Yeah.
And then you pump them.
So we'll call it the breast pump.
Yeah, so for our boy El Jefe, we got Rockets won on November 9th. They lost November 12th, lost December 20th, and they won. It's 2-2. No, it's 3-1. 3-1.
3-1 Spurs in the season series. But El Jefe,
did you say it on the air? You doubted me?
Did you say it on the air?
No, he asked me off air.
Well, if I doubt you off the air, it doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
With both of us.
Yeah.
You don't discriminate that way.
That's true. Can I make a rule? Kurt Lowe, I know you're listening. I'm going to institute a rule, and I didn't clear this with Nick or Joel. I don't want to put them on my a-hole train. If you guys agree with me, that's one thing. I think Kurt Lowe needs to be limited to 45 seconds on a call.
You are so mean, man. You are such
an
a-hole.
I figured you would feel that way because you love Kurt Lowe.
You're an a-hole.
And I love Kurt Lowe, too. Not as much as you do, Joel, but I do love Kurt Lowe. But
it's
I think
my boy, man.
We've got
my
to
boy,
be,
Kurt Lowe.
We've got to be concise with our time.
I'm a Kurt Lowe fan. I love it when he goes off.
Me, too. But we just have to keep it concise. So when he calls, I'm going to put him on a shot clock like James Harden.
I love it when he calls Westbrook Westbrook, even though
I don't.
That's so far from the truth, but it's hilarious.
I can't stand when grown-ass men give nicknames to people like that. That's one of my big pet peeves. I don't know why, but it sounds childish and immature, and it drives me insane. But you see it all the time in sports.
But Westbrook couldn't hit a shot from Channel View.
I'm gonna murder you on air.
But he was on fire from Friendswood.
If you think Clanton and Ennis was heated,
ooh.
I'm gonna murder you on air if you keep up that shot.
That's
from
all right. I went to
view.
David Gow's office earlier. I heard you were in a Kawhi Leonard jersey in Austin.
Well, whatever.
Without a shirt underneath, and you were wearing a jersey.
I'm gonna wear a Fox Sports shirt to
FS1.
Work. Don't care. Check me, bro. I'm coming with it. I'm bringing it.
With his new white Gap jeans, he's wearing that Spurs.
I didn't get
snuggie.
White. I got the gray ones. I didn't get the white ones.
Okay.
The white ones.
Are they stretchy fit?
Yeah, it was at American Eagle where I was going to get the white ones, but I'm going to wait. They'll go on sale. Okay. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. And I know El Jefe, who keeps up with my fashion for some weird ass reason, would ask that question. So yeah, I haven't gotten new white ones yet. I have to though because the old ones that I bought were for Fat Barry. And they don't fit anymore. They're 36s.
You're drowning in them.
They're 36s.
Wash them.
I did. I took all my fat jeans and washed and dried them, and they're still too big. That's how big I got. Yeah, like I can't. So I'm just like, no, time to get a new wardrobe.
Nothing wrong with that. You earned it.
Yeah.
And then when you eat that
what
berry special with all that bacon and crap on it, we're going to save them because you may need them again.
I can't wait. 175.
Leave that in your bullpen just in case you got to go to it some point.
I probably shouldn't be shrinking all my clothes. I'm going to get big again. I'm going to need them.
All right. Kurt Lowe's gone. Marcus is not. Marcus wants to talk about Russell Westbrook. What's up, Marcus?
Yo, what up, fellas? What up, fellas? Hey, man, Barry, you took the words out of my mouth. I was literally about to call in and go off on y'all about having guest speakers and not telling us that y'all have a guest speaker. Next time a dude take a whole segment, you need to give him his own segment, as a matter of fact. God dang. All right, but now what I was going to say, man, the dude that came with the soliloquy, the one thing he didn't mention is that I said this before when we had the argument about the MVP, who should get it. And I said James Harden has a better team. As far as if you want to say who's the better player, you can argue that. But if you look at that team, at one point I'm looking at the team and I really wondered, what will they literally took two dribbles, look for Westbrook. One pass, look for Westbrook. Like, Westbrook would be on the other side trying to catch his breath, and they throw it over his head in the stands. Oladipo threw it over his head in the stands, trying to get him the ball, while Westbrook's like, man, bro, I can't even get a break. I can't get a rest. They literally look for him every time. So if he doesn't make a play, you got to shoot. He might shoot 2 for 17. He's probably tired as hell.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, and here's the other thing, and it's a great, great point, Marcus. You could see in the Oklahoma City players' facial expressions and just their reaction time, it was like a hot potato. When they got the ball, they weren't thinking, like, I can run this guy off a screen and I can get a 15-footer or I can get to the basket. It was like immediately their eyes were like on a swivel going, where's Russ? Where's Russ?
There was one point when they were trying to make the comeback and it was close to the end and someone else took a three. And I'd have to go back and look because I didn't keep track of who it was.
The foreign kid, the rookie foreign kid, I think.
Was it him? And then there was a look of, it wasn't overly obvious, but you could tell Russ was perturbed that they didn't swing the ball back to him for that shot. It was like, I remember seeing his face and specifically thinking, uh-oh, you didn't let Russ take that shot. Now you've got Russ George mad. He wants that last shot. You just CJ Miles did, dude. You're not supposed to do that.
And here's the thing. That's why I go back to, you have to at some point, you can feel the frustration both ways. Because from the standpoint of everybody else on that roster, they knew, one, this was the target goal of that franchise, whether they admit it or not. Russ had to average a triple-double.
Yep.
And then two, that from the perspective of offensively, I'm sure they were stressed. Everything runs through Russ. But this is James Harden of 2 years ago when he didn't have shooters. The fourth quarter is an absolute end result of a guy that doesn't trust his teammates.
Yeah.
And in the fourth quarter, without figures, if it ain't me and it ain't three, then it's just not going to be. Because he just looks like, the reason why he was having all those rough fourth quarters was because the Rockets weren't dumb. They were going to send two guys running at him. And he was like, if I don't do it, no one else can. So I got to try and pull these shots.
Yeah,
that's why he was pulling all those shots from way out.
Right.
Lenny on Twitter said, who else thinks Harden's game makes them want to put forks in their eyes rather than watch basketball? His antics get annoying. Harden can look really bad at times, but a lot of what he does can be beautiful, too.
Mm-hmm.
He can take guys off the dribble and make them look silly. And he can do that step back when he hits it right in somebody's eye. I mean, but then there's the times where he's flailing about and dumb passes and turnovers. So, yeah, it's a mixture. That's why you have two eyes. You stab one with a fork, and then you watch the greatness with another
one. I think you can get aggravated by his decision-making, but he's still an enjoyable watch.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this. Whether you're an expert, a media expert like Kurt Lowe, or if you're just a basketball purist or a fan, if you watch what James Harden does and you isolate, his ability to create space and open shots when there shouldn't be open shots just by his pullbacks, you know, step back, stop on a dime, or the Euro step and get to the basket, you've got to appreciate the fact that there are very few guys in this league that can get the shots off and create the space that he does. So, all right, we can talk about a lot of different things. We've covered a lot of basketball. We've got the NFL draft tomorrow, at least round one, so we can cover that. The Astros for game two in Cleveland tonight after a good win and another solid performance by Dallas Keuchel in Cleveland yesterday. We can talk about that. We'll try and get you some updates, hopefully, on Altuve, if not Teoscar Hernandez. And we'll get ready for another hour and a half of the show. So we're at the halfway point. Get yourself some orange slices and Gatorade, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hello. Barry.
What's up?
Nick. Joel. Usual Suspects as we continue to roll on. We were talking in the break, and we love our regulars, but regulars know the drill better than first-time callers, long-time listeners. So we want to make sure that we'll call it the Kurtlow rule. But when you come to the show and you want to call, you got to bring it. You got to come correct. You got to bring it precisely. You got to have your outline in your head. You may even want to rehearse it a few times, but bring the points first, because as much as we want to sit back and kick it, we got a lot of people that, and a lot of things to get to.
I mean, just be concise with your words. That's all I want. I don't. I love the calls. I absolutely love the calls from all of the regulars. I do. But you got to understand that they can't linger. I mean, we need to get the call done. And any call that goes longer than a minute is too long. That's just a fact. So I think we're gonna have to start. And maybe we can just do it selectively at first. Just have like a 45 second clock, and we won't even tell them. But when you call in and you start hearing that shot clock, that tick tock go down from like 5 seconds, and the buzzer goes, you're done.
I mean, that's the thing. A minute if it's just you. I mean, if we're going back and forth on a topic,
yeah,
and someone's got a good takes, then it'll last longer than that.
Because how long is a segment, Nick? How long is a segment?
About 10 to 12 minutes.
If you call in and you're talking for 2 minutes, you're eating up 20% of a segment.
Not acceptable.
Kurtlow, how long was he on there for? At least 3 minutes,
four,
right?
5 minutes? 4 minutes?
Bro, that's half a segment. I agree with the old boy that said, I didn't know y'all had a guest. Like, nah, we just, no. Nah. Mm-mm.
You're a little fired up right now.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
When he walked in, I knew he was going to mention it because he just seemed bothered by the whole Kurtlow call.
Well, I
Kurtlow.
Because listen, I know as a listener.
That's right. Just like Kawhi is. First Corinthians.
As a listener, man, when I hear horribly long calls, I'm like, God, this sucks. I don't want people driving around going, this sucks. Yeah. So I want to make sure we stay on top of it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Let's find new ways to aggravate Barry.
No. Hey, well, here's one. Fun. Here's one. Let me give you one. This happened, was it yesterday or the day before on Twitter? So some guy just, and I'm used to this. I'm totally used to this. But, you know, people like to mess with me, make jokes, whatever. I get it. I know why. I get it. I totally get it. And some guy said something to me. Oh, I remember what it was. On Twitter, his name is It's Lima Time. And when I was talking about, I didn't know if that quote was from Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi. And he called me a nerd. He goes, I can't believe you don't know that. You're a nerd.
You're a nerd for not knowing it?
Yeah. And my response was, no, I would be a nerd if I did know that. And he was like, no, you wouldn't. My 3-year-old knew it, but you didn't. I was like, I don't think you know what a nerd is, or I think we have different definitions. And he goes, why are you so salty, bro? I was like, what are you talking about? Now I'm mad. Now I'm salty. I'm like, what? Like, I just figured we were just having a conversation, but no, he had to go to the salty car. Anytime you disagree with someone, well, for me, I can't speak for you guys, but if people fire at me and then I come back with a joke and maybe it stings a little bit to them, they're like, why are you so mean and salty? I'm like, bro, first of all, you're the one that texted me or tweeted me. I didn't reach out to you to start busting your chops. But if I respond, you can't say I'm salty. God, that's
Nick,
just...
you always laugh because I go for the jugular. I go to try and completely just annihilate people that do that.
I think it's hilarious.
I try to have fun with people on Twitter, but then if they start to push it, like people love to take shots at me because I'm a comic. And that's what it was. He goes, I think you just lost in a game of joke chicken. I was like, what?
What? Maybe you lost in a game of choke chicken.
I'm thinking you just don't know what nerd means. And now all of a sudden this was a game of joke chicken. I was like, bro, whatever. Okay.
I will say you saying the Texans going 10-6 is just ridiculous. They're totally going 9-7.
That was a good try, but that's not going to upset me.
9-7.
That's not going to upset me. I've already.
What about 7-9?
I've already put that in the past. The one game difference guy. You're an idiot. They're going 9-7, not 10-6. Thanks, one game difference guy.
See, before you're missing the big point here, and that is the not nerdy nerdy guy is upset because his 3-year-old actually took one of his Star Wars action figures to figure out who you were. Because his collection is vintage.
I don't. Oh, okay.
Not the 3-year-old.
All right.
But the guy that was tweeting you. Yeah, I mean, look, and I was talking to some people, even in Los Angeles, there were people that were talking about all the cowardly keyboard confidence of all these people that they would never say it to your face, but boy, when they get on social media, man, they just feel like it's not our fault you had a bad day, but they just want to mix it up.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's cowardly people. I look at it as like when someone calls and talks about you or they tweet or text and talk crap about you, that might be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, for the most part on Twitter, I'm speaking specifically of Twitter, I don't think it's them necessarily being cowardly. I think they like to poke the bear and they like to make jokes back at me. And then if I respond, they get upset. And I'm like, well, don't get upset. Don't start none. There won't be none. Like, if you're going to joke with me, I'm going to joke with you. So don't be getting mad. And now look at El Jefe. Everyone should randomly tweet Barry, quote, why you salty, bro?
Yep.
Don't do that.
Yeah, dude, don't you have a test to prepare for or something?
Do not do that. I will talk about anyone that tweets me that. I'm talking about your mom. I want you to know right now. And I hope it leads to a fight.
El Jefe, you should just be reading the entire Bible from start to finish to find if Kawhi is in there. That's what you should be doing. Just for Kurt Lowe.
Now what we should do is at the next Rockets game, just have a sign that says Kawhi 316.
That's right. Instead of John 316, Kawhi 316. Yep.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic. NFL news, Raiders finally get done what had been the worst kept secret in town and all over the country. Marshawn Lynch in beast mode, heading back to his hometown as he is a Raider in a very, very mild trade. It was like exchanging fifth and sixth round picks in the draft.
Was it?
For the ability to sign a one-year deal for Lynch, who there was a spot in the backfield for the Raiders. And if he, it's a big if, but if he can get back to his form of 2 years ago, that's a nice addition for the Raiders.
Who will have the better year as a backup, Adrian Peterson or Marshawn Lynch?
Will Adrian Peterson be the backup?
I think he will.
I think for that first game, he won't be.
You don't?
They play Minnesota in Minnesota. Well, I think for the first game, even if it's just for show,
you think
he'll start that game.
But he won't play get the most reps.
Right. I think that's
probably who has the better year overall, Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson?
I'm going to say Adrian Peterson.
Okay. Do you have an
opinion?
Just
because Marshawn Lynch has been out for so long. What is it, 2 years, 3 years?
A year.
A year.
He's out a year.
Just 1 year?
Yes.
Oh, that's not that bad.
No. And he's behind that Oakland Raiders line.
Adrian Peterson is half Wolverine, though.
But don't sell yourself short. Now, New Orleans had one of the better run-blocking offense, even though they didn't run a lot. But they had a really solid offensive line last year. So it'll be interesting. That's actually a good one to monitor throughout
the
season.
Raiders, yeah.
But you're right, because the Raiders have always, you know, have been known for, next to the Cowboys, as one of the best offensive lines in the game. So, All right, so you got your Texans draft first round tomorrow. Frank wants to get in here, talk Texans draft. Frank, what's up?
Frank, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
My bad.
I just wanted to see what time you would take Deshaun Watson if he was still there after the Cleveland Browns pick at number 12. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man.
Where would we take him?
He heard that rule that
he
you...
He did.
Yeah. I like
and he
see,
was
Bear,
like,
that's,
bye.
Damn it,
I'm
that's
not getting
how
hung
you
up
call
on.
A show. That's how you call.
You scared him off the show.
Bear, you got everybody running scared now.
Well, I mean, look at me. I'm intimidating. Look how, you know.
Now JJ is going to get pissed off.
All 5'7 of you. Yeah,
JJ is going to start gushing over other shows instead of us.
5'7, bitch.
Oh, what are you?
I'm 5'10.
I thought we were going to stop cussing.
No, you're not
5'10. I'm not stopping cussing.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm 5'10.
I don't believe
it. Don't come at me with that 5'7 stuff.
I thought you were 5'8, and I was just pissed you off by saying 5'7.
You thought I was 5'8?
You think you're 5'10?
Wait, El Jefe just tweeted. Have everybody tweet Barry, you're 5'7.
What?
El Jefe just tweeted, have everybody tweet Barry, you're only 5'7".
What was his name again?
I don't even know. I couldn't even. He was so quick. It was like a 3-second call.
Well, you were the one that took the call. What was his name?
Why's it got to be on me?
That's how you make a call, though.
It was Marcus and Jeff.
Oh, what?
There you go. You got it.
Deshaun Watson, where do you think he goes?
Look, we went over this yesterday. I think they're also evenly matched, and no one stands out at me. But I think Deshaun Watson goes because of the teams looking at quarterbacks, I'll say he goes between 15 and 20.
Yeah, I think he definitely goes. I don't think he's there when the Texans pick, if that's what you're asking. If he is, do you draft him as the Texans?
I would.
If you're the Texans,
do you
do it?
I would.
If he's available?
I like him better than I like, and people are going to disagree with me, but that's fine. I like him better than pretty much anybody else in this draft.
Really?
Yep.
He's your number one QB.
I have him rated higher than Trubisky.
Okay.
And every, I just think, look, I know every, you know, it fluctuates from mock draft to mock draft. I think he's played on a big stage. He is a proven winner. He's got the physical tools. I don't think he should start day one. But I think if assuming everyone is there and they have their choice, I would rather see them take Deshaun Watson.
Last mock draft I saw had him going 10 to the Bills.
Okay.
And if you think the Bills are going to go out and get a QB, which this mock draft obviously did, then you're probably not seeing any of the top three QBs, Mahomes, Trubisky, or Watson available, because the Jets are probably going to take a QB, and the Browns at 12 will probably take one of those three. So you may not, if the Bills, you know, the Bills do their thing, and the Cardinals go at 13.
Cardinals might, Chargers
might.
The
Cardinals might do something there.
Even the Saints have said they might start grooming a guy to go behind Drew Brees, so you never know.
Yep.
That's why I said, you never know, and no one's ever tipping their hand on who they're actually going to take. But just straight out, if you had a choice between Mahomes and Watson, who do you take?
Watson.
I agree.
I worry about guys like Mahomes that come from those systems. Those system QBs that translate to... I worry about that.
There's a guy that has to make it a complete adjustment based on coming out of the huddle and getting behind center and running an NFL pro-style offense. So, yeah, you're right. All right, so there's one draft question out of the way with a caller that actually was beautifully orchestrated in the shot clock. John, David, we see you. We'll get to you guys, and we'll get to a whole lot more. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. I know you do it way better.
You're dead wrong. ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects. Boy, I didn't expect this call this soon. But David wants to talk fantasy football first pick. David, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? Love the show.
Appreciate
Thanks,
that,
man. What's up?
All right. So I got a question for you. I see what is your opinion. When it comes down to fantasy football, who will you pick first? Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch? I'll go ahead and listen.
Thank you. Guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that's Antonio Brown.
That's his – well, I mean, but to
I
his,
know.
His,
I know.
Yeah, see, I'm taking Marshawn Lynch.
You are?
Yeah. That offense, that Raiders offense is going to put up ridiculous numbers. You know he's going to get some goal line rushes for touchdown. Yeah, I'm taking Marshawn Lynch.
It's so hard to me.
I still think Peterson's going to get his share, especially at the goal line. I mean, I know Mark Ingram was more of a touchdown guy than a yards guy.
Yep.
Yeah, so, but again, both guys are splitting time.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. But, yeah, I mean, you make a valid point about the Raiders' offensive line, too. Plus, look, Breeze is going to – the biggest problem is Breeze is going to put up huge numbers, too. But, again, through the air to where most all of their touches are probably going to come via the pass. He's the all-time leader, active leader in passing touchdowns. And 5,000 yards a season, he's going to sling it around. And I think most of their touchdowns are going to come via the air.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're still going to get your red zone goal line touches.
You're going to get plenty.
I'm saying, but of the two teams, I think that they accentuate the pass even more in New Orleans.
I really thought that was going to be a fantasy football question, like a legit. I was just not going to answer. I thought he was going to be like, so it's a keeper league. And I was like, oh, God.
Guys,
this is
you don't understand. When we get to when we get back to talking about getting in the rabbit hole to talk about fantasy football, it'll be like September.
Why you got to be like that to our boy?
Because people know.
You know, hey, the other day I was listening to a game with PJ Carlissimo.
Mm-hmm. NBA radio. I heard he was doing a game. I was flipping the dial and caught him at one point.
And he sounded like Jesse the Body Ventura. Yeah. I literally, for and this was on TNT, though. This was on TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was on TV. And I was like, why in the hell is Jesse the Body Ventura doing a basketball game? And I literally had to start Googling who was calling the games and stuff like that. And yeah, it was so close. Super close. By the way, somebody said Girls, 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 one of the greatest stripper songs ever.
I put it on my list.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Joel is hour number two, in case you guys are wondering. Yeah. So.
Hey,
who's the guy in there staring over your shoulder, Nick? What is this dude?
Chris is a new producer who will begin to be producing programs on 1560, our SB Nation sister station.
Does he have a light allergy?
A light allergy? Yeah. Do you have a light allergy?
Is he allergic to light?
He said negative.
Why is he wearing sunglasses?
Why are you wearing sunglasses inside the building?
It makes me look cool.
It makes him look cool, he says.
Actually, it doesn't at all.
Wow.
Like, I'm just like.
You don't even know him.
Straight up new guy.
Bro, you can't be indoors.
Why are you getting so salty,
man? You're 5'7".
Why are you getting so salty?
You're blocked like everyone else on Twitter. Yeah. 5'7". Like, no, you gotta, you can't, it's very weird. I feel like.
What about if it's in the club? If you in the club, you can totally
wear
sunglasses.
That's even worse.
No,
you that's
can
even,
totally
you,
do it.
Look.
Because
all
people do it.
When Dan Aykroyd gets here and they go out and do the Blues Brothers act together, he's getting chicks.
I see. I even put my glasses on so I could see for sure. But yeah, I don't. It's very creepy. I don't know if you're. Actually, right now, I don't know if you're looking at me or if you're looking at Nick's ass.
That's part of the allure.
I have no idea what you're looking at.
That's part of the allure. He knows you don't.
This is. It's creepy.
Don't imagine him producing for you.
Don't be indoor sunglasses guy. You can't. That's actually in the handbook in the employee. I don't know if you know that, but you can't work here. And wear sunglasses inside.
I think
rule.
You're the only one that's bothered by this.
It's a rule. No, you watch. There will be more.
No one can see him.
There will
him
be
but
more.
You.
Huh?
No one can see him to
that
be
works
bothered
here?
By
watch.
It.
There'll be an email going around about the weird guy with sunglasses on. What? You give it 2 weeks
Nick,
of employment.
He's so mean.
They'll be talking about you. I'm just doing you a favor.
He's just so mean
I know,
all the time.
I know
people.
I am. I know.
No, you're just more blunt. I was going to ask him why he was wearing sunglasses in the building, too. But
Justin, we got a text that said two people wear sunglasses inside, blind people and a-holes. You see? That's why I asked. Did you have like a light allergy or are you just weird? Like that's, see?
Corey Hart's on line one. he only wears them at night.
We got a caller that wants to talk golf?
Yeah,
you
Josh
know who
Rapp.
It is.
Josh
He's just
Rapp.
Disguising his name. It's Josh Rapp.
Oh, I didn't know
Let's
that.
Let's do it. Let's talk some golf.
All right, Rap. What do you want?
I know Barry likes to talk golf.
Oh,
so.
I can't wait.
Start the clock, Nick.
I cannot wait to not listen to you.
Well, I know I'm on the shot clock, so I'll be brief.
Okay. You don't have to be.
How do you feel about the new format of the Zurich Classic this week? It's a team format, two-man teams, alternate shot and best ball for a PGA Tour.
Are they trying to raise money for charity? Because otherwise, if it's not like a tournament like to raise charity, like a scramble, they're the best players in the world. I don't like it. Just don't do it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I mean, I feel you there, but I think it's pretty cool. I'd like to see how it turns out first before I make a judgment. But dude, it is a PGA Tour event. They will be splitting the two-man teams will be splitting FedEx Cup points and –
There's where you're. Therein lies the problem, because you're going to have guys fighting over the money, and the person, especially if one guy plays better than the other. Don't kid yourself; that's going to end up being a deal too. I just don't like it. I'll tell you what I do like though, and I don't know if you saw it or not, but based on what we've talked about, the governing body of golf changed the rules. The ass clown on the couch can't call up anymore.
Oh, well,
and call a rule violation.
Yeah, because it makes them look bad.
It makes everyone look bad.
Yeah, it makes everyone hate your sport. Definitely. Thanks for the call, Josh. I think teams in golf is stupid unless it's the Ryder Cup.
What if they have matching uniforms?
It's an individual sport.
What if they have jerseys?
That's like having. I'm trying to think of a individual sport that doesn't have a team. Because you even have doubles in tennis, right?
Yeah.
Track. You still have a track team. Is there an individual sport that there's no teams in? I can't think of any.
No, because there's figure skating.
You still have doubles. Pairs.
I mean, pairs.
You have pair skating.
Pairs.
How long do you think it'll take for the first all-male pair? That's going to be a thing, right?
When you say
That's
pair.
That's not going to be a thing.
Yeah, it is. I guarantee you. At some point, there will be a pairs skating couple that are two dudes. Guaranteed.
They won't be sanctioned.
I'm saying it's going to happen, guys.
By the way, good job, Nick, trying to find the only clean part of this song.
Well, I just did the instrumental because yeah, there was
it's a slower, clean version. Different version.
You know, I didn't think about this, but El Jefe's right. That dude's probably just high right now.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's what you accused me of, what, yesterday?
Yeah, you were high yesterday. You should have wore your sunglasses. Yeah. Good call, El Jefe. That's probably what it is. Probably smoke some ganja.
I'll tell you what, El Jefe, if my man drives an unmarked squad car, you guys could be brothers. Anyway, we've got two in the books. We got one more hour of the show to go. So if you want to join us like Donald does, and we'll get to him in a second, 713-780-ESPN, and you can hit us up on that HRNP listener line where we'll take calls and text messages, or hit us up on Twitter. We will be accommodating. But again, if you're a regular, follow the shot clock or be prepared to be buzzed. And then Nick will play his favorite boy band cut, and it'll all be... I thought you were going to hit it there. Bye, bye, bye.
No, because I felt like you were making fun of me then.
No, though. I don't do that. All right, so two in the books, one to go, plenty more show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.